Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's live broadcast of Conscious Cool Chic Radio. I am your host, Molly McCord. I am speaking to you from the beautiful location of Seattle, Washington. Thank you for joining me today, whether you are listening live in the archive or on iTunes. I hope that you experience a lot of aha moments and insights with this show. This is the monthly show where I answer your top spirituality questions. And I'm also going to answer your questions about my latest best-selling book, The Art of Trapeze. I'm also guided to give you some astrology information. So this is going to be a packed show, and I'm going to cover a lot. So I hope that you are ready for all of this information. Right before today's show, I felt a huge download of information. I actually was wiped out. I had so much energy coming in that I was physically tired. And I released all that, moved it through me, and understood it as the energy for the show and the importance of some of these questions that you're asking and that other people are wondering about as well. So just a heads up that this feels big and we're going to experience it together. If you're brand new to the show, welcome. Thank you for being here. This is based on my website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. I am an intuitive, an author, astrologer, an energy reader, a channeler. I do a lot, and my titles keep evolving. So I just like to say consciousness catalyst or international spiritual teacher because those titles encapsulate everything that I do and share and want to give. Check out the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com, and I recommend getting on the email list because that's where I send out the latest offers. I do a lot of exclusive offers to email recipients, and I also send out updates about astrology and energies and themes, all kinds of good stuff. So I recommend checking that out. Let's see here, where to start? There's a long list of questions that I'm just going to dive in and go to the one that excites me the most, and we'll kick off the show with that. I had this lovely question from a woman who asks about people who are semi-awake. This comes from Lorraine in New York City, New York, New York. And she mentioned that somebody in her life is open to psychics and crystals and learning about their team, their spiritual team, but they are also nervous and fear-based. How can you assist someone who is semi-awake to be more comfortable with these situations and this information? This is such a timely question, Lorraine. Thank you for asking it because I know that you're speaking for many people who are listening. There are many people who are slowly coming to an understanding that there is more to our human experiences than what meets the eye. And they are doing that on their own timeline, in their own way, by their own soul's choice and guidance. So when we come upon people who are opening up to these bigger understandings and perspectives, perhaps you feel an excitement and a desire to assist them or to pull them forward or to do anything you can because of your enthusiasm and your interest in these topics. I can relate to this. I as well have people in my life who I would call semi-awake. However, this is also where we need to remain in honor and respect for another's choice and path. If you're having conversations with people who are starting to get interested in this kind of thing, maybe they're browsing the metaphysical section of the bookstore or they're looking online and they're opening up to this information, think of it as how you would guide and support a child who is learning to walk. And I don't mean a child as in they're, you know, lower than or immature or anything childlike. I mean simply the understanding that somebody is learning a new skill, a new way of being in the world. And it is going to make them nervous. It is going to bring up fears. It's going to feel uncomfortable. And that's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to have the fears come up. And so you, as someone who is awake and who is interested in these spiritual areas and knowledge, be encouraging. Listen to what they're saying and what they're learning. Perhaps share one of your experiences that was satisfactory and or uplifting. Give them positive feedback about the information you've learned. However, be aware if it's too overwhelming or too much. It's like when you're watching a child learn to walk, they set the pace. They choose which foot goes next, at what rate, at what speed. And think about children. Some of them take off, just go, go, go. Others are more tentative and more slow and want to find their balance. So allow the person you're speaking with to set the pace and be ready to give them the positive feedback and encouragement around what you've learned, what has helped you on your journey, what understandings you've embraced and have felt empowering to you. And if they ask or if they show more curiosity, perhaps you can refer them to other books or people or websites so that they can keep pursuing. But the idea is to really honor their path. And the other important point with people who are awakening is to remember where you were at and what was going through your mind at the same time in your experience. I've been on this journey. My first awakening was in 2002. And I've had numerous awakenings, as I've shared with you on this show. It wasn't just one, it's multiple. And I have to really go back to think about what questions did I have or what was brand new to me that was really bizarre. In fact, I remember something right now. It has to do with chakras. The very first time I heard about chakras was because of a Deepak Chopra meditation. And I had to go through that chakra meditation to grasp what it even meant. And it was incredible. I loved it. But there was a time when I had no idea what that even was. It sounded like just some foreign term that I didn't understand what to do with. But I had to experience it for myself. So think about what was new to you and look at how you can explain things in basic terms, knowing that there's always more information to add later. So you don't have to give everything right away. It's like these introductory snippets of information, or it's the basic understandings that allow the person to follow what interests them and honors their choices, their energy, you know, what they really want to learn about. So someone might be really interested in chakras. Other people could love oracle cards, or they want to spend more time with crystals and their meanings, and they don't ever want to know about oracle cards. There's so many divergent paths. So allow the person you're speaking with to run the show, so to speak, and to allow them to share with you what they're learning. But you are perhaps a cheerleader of sorts, a support system, someone who can offer more guidance, but you're not trying to do anything for them. And I think that's really important because if we've been on this path for a while, we can get used to that role. And so let's just allow each person to unfold and to have information revealed to them as they're ready, knowing that their soul and higher self is guiding them, just like it's guiding each of us. So I think this is such a perfect topic because it's exciting to connect with people who are opening up to more spiritual information, especially when that is one of your passions. And yet at the same time, we have to also incorporate some restraint to honor them and to show respect for what they choose. Thank you, Lorraine, for this question. I hope that answers it and provides you with some understanding. It was beautiful and a great way to pass on to others, how to have these conversations and what to do with people who are awakening. I forgot to mention that I have done some previous shows lately that might be of interest to people who are just awakening. One is the animal energy show where I spoke about animals and their needs right now. This could be a good way for somebody to understand how animals perceive and work with energy. I also just did a show on the astrological transits that are happening, some rather big energies. And so if you know somebody who's interested in astrology and they're just wanting to open up a little bit more, I recommend that show as well. So please check that out. And wow, I'm going to take a minute to just ground myself. I'm going to be back in just 10 seconds. Again, I'm feeling some really big energies coming in. I'm going to ground myself, take a quick drink of water, and I'll be back with our next question. Just a moment. Okay, thank you. Here we go with our next question from Alicia. Alicia says, I am usually not a sappy person, but lately, over the last few years, I have been extremely emotional over small things. For example, in one of my classes, my professor was showing a movie that briefly talked about 9/11, and I was boo-hooing in the back of the classroom. I couldn't help myself. But I don't know a soul that was on or near the planes or buildings from 9/11. I feel that there is a spiritual, metaphysical reason behind this, especially now that I'm noticing it and accepting it, not trying to hide it as if that makes me weak. I hope you can provide some insight. Thank you. Alicia, this is a beautiful question, lovely lady. This is powerful. First of all, you are exactly right by just noticing it and accepting it as part of your responsibility to allow the energy to just move through you, to allow that experience to move through you. Now, you said that you feel extremely emotional over small things. It might appear small on the surface or initially, but I think what you're tapping into is a bigger energetic imprint that is perhaps related to your own lessons and soul experiences, whether in this lifetime or in other lifetimes, but also global. When we have a strong reaction to something, chances are we are feeling it for many, many people, and I mean hundreds or thousands of people. If you identify as an empath, that is especially true, but you don't have to be an empath. And what I'm feeling so strongly, Alicia, is a clearing. It's an energetic clearing and cleansing. And I want to say that it's not only for you, it's actually for a global cleansing of the experiences of 9/11, of the fears associated with that time, of the lessons, it's almost like you as a soul are helping to move that energy through an energetic grid system that's bigger than you. And so we feel it as perhaps the tears, the sadness, anger, hurt, anything else that comes up. But what I sense that you're really clearing out, Alicia, is so much bigger than you. And I'm feeling it in my solar plexus just as I'm speaking, that you are really moving through energies that are unconscious to most people. And so most people, you know, think about 9/11 and have perhaps a strong reaction, but they've learned to either put it aside, to numb it, to go into their mental space about it. You know, they have other ways of coping. But I feel that when you're present in the situation and you're honoring yourself and what you're really feeling, you're actually doing that for other people as well, whether that's people who are in the room or more global. And so for these scenarios, when you're feeling the emotions run through you, think of it as you're clearing out emotions as a service to yourself, your community, your soul group, and humanity. When those tears are flowing or when you feel triggered or emotional, as you said, you just allow it to happen and accept it. But know that the bigger picture is that you're moving it for the betterment of many people. And I hope that provides a soothing perspective on why you might be feeling these emotions. There is a lot of unconscious emotional energy circling the planet. It is disguised as other energies. I'm actually seeing it as energies that people are not willing to claim yet or notice. And when we grow in our levels of consciousness, we see things from a higher perspective and we can see what is unconscious. And I'm feeling so strongly that what you're tapping into is a lot of love, forgiveness, compassion, honor, and respect. And I'm still feeling it in my solar plexus there. So know that you are moving energy that is bigger than you, and it's okay and it's needed. And if you can, at the end of the tears or the end of the scenario, if you can just say thank you to your higher self and your soul for allowing this experience to happen, I feel that you'll have some peace around it as well. I can feel this for you, Alicia. I feel it, and I think it's a beautiful thing. I'm somebody who honors the emotional experience, and this actually relates to what I share in my own story, my own memoir, is that I talk about emotion and how it's actually E-motion, and it's energy in motion. We think of it as, you know, one word, emotion, but it's two words, and it has layers of meaning. It's one of my favorite things to share in the story because this came to me in 2009, this understanding, and it changed how I experienced myself. When I could see that emotion was simply energy moving through me and it wasn't a part of my self-identity, it could just flow and I could allow it to go. And so we are moving into higher levels of consciousness around emotions. Emotions are connected to a third-dimensional experience. They're connected to reactions at times, the lower-based reactions. Emotions are meant to clear, purify, and transmute energies. We're meant to move something through us, such as sadness, so that we can clear it out and honor it as part of our experience. And then after we clear it out, we can choose a higher expression, which is forgiveness, compassion, joy. So it's, imagine a vessel being emptied out, and then we call in higher energy to replace it and to take its place. So that is one of the gifts of emotions. Emotions are always in motion. That's another key part of the word. They're fluid. They move through us. It's why one day you can be feeling jubilation and elated and joy, and the 2 days later, maybe you feel all of a sudden like you've been, you know, socked in the gut, and you feel heavy, and you're not sure where it came from or what's going on. Well, it's just the need to move that energy through you, to move it out, essentially, and to not associate it with part of your self-identity. It's just showing you something about yourself, an area that needs attention or a part of you that needs to be loved and honored. So the understanding of emotion is actually new to human consciousness. And it's something that we are opening up to through other experts who are sharing their information. One who comes to mind is Brené Brown. Perhaps you've read her books or seen some of her videos. She's done some excellent TED Talks. Brené Brown speaks about vulnerability, courage, authenticity, but gets to the heart of them, including shame. She is a forerunner in understanding these energies and owning them from a higher perspective. So if you're looking for more understanding, I recommend Brené Brown. Either watch her videos, books, whatever you're drawn to, and see how you work with emotional energy or how you do not work with it and where that is providing blocks. So many of you asked questions about my book, The Art of Trapeze, One Woman's Journey of Soaring, Surrendering, and Awakening. And people are coming to this book with different levels of spiritual knowledge. I have had people who don't even know how to define divine, and I've had people who want to know more about soul contracts. I have heard from people who understand that there are layers of consciousness within the book. And I've had people who look at it from a very, I would say, 3D black and white perspective. All perfect, all wonderful. As a writer, you just put something out there, and I never had the intention of everyone understanding everything at exactly the same time or exactly the same way. I am going to be releasing another book that dives into the spiritual secrets within The Art of Trapeze. And this book is going to go into further detail about the layers of consciousness in the book. It's going to talk about manifestations and intentions. It's going to share more about the energies of soaring, the energies of surrender, the energy and explanations of awakening. It's going to provide more understanding, not because I want you to know about me so much as I want you to know more about you. And the way I see it is that as a teacher, I'm sharing my experiences so that it's almost like a reference point, but I want you to dive into your own experiences more and to understand your own energy more, and then incorporate higher levels of consciousness within you. So it's more of a teaching tool instead of more about me. It's really about you if you choose it. That's why I'm doing this show as well, is because I want to address some of these questions and just let you know that there is more information coming should you choose to follow it. Because the point is for you to understand your own energy signature better. And so one of the questions was, what are the layers of consciousness in the book that you have hinted at? Well, there are currently 5 different types of consciousness on this planet. I did a show about that about 3 weeks ago. And I'm going to explain more of that in the book, but the 5 different types of consciousness are victim and poverty consciousness, mass consciousness, heart consciousness, new thought / spirituality consciousness, and then cosmic consciousness. Each of these types of consciousness are in the book. And the point is to look at what areas of your life are you incorporating certain types of consciousness. So, for example, in your career, you could feel like your boss is in charge of you, that he's a jerk, that he doesn't get you. You could feel that your boss is in charge of your financial situation. You could have many, let's say, deep issues related to an authority figure or a boss. Well, that is in alignment with the description of victim and poverty consciousness, which is believing that your power is outside of you. So let's say that could be a scenario for your work life. Then you go home and you have this wonderful man who is your husband or this lovely lady who is your wife, and you look at your partner and you see the best in them and the good, and you're grateful that they're in your life, that you have this person to share your experience with, and you feel so open-hearted. This would be heart consciousness. And so then you think, well, that's interesting that I could experience heart consciousness with my lovely partner, but I can't experience heart consciousness with my boss. So then you start connecting some dots and you say, well, but I have the capacity to do that because I have that in this area of my life. Well, if I have it in one area of my life, I can have it in every area of my life. And it's when we make those connections that we can start elevating the energy in other areas of our lives. So then if you went to work the next day with your heart consciousness on fire and you started feeling higher vibrational energy towards your boss, the energy would start to shift between the two of you. The relationship would start to change. It could change right away. It could change over a few months. But when you change the energy based on you, you start to change your experience and you elevate your consciousness and you elevate the energy in your life. So that's just one example. And you can see why this is another book. It's because there's just a lot that I want to point out and explain. This information is relatively new, and we need these grounded, practical examples in order to get it. Because a lot of spiritual things can seem woo-woo or out there. But they're not. They're here. And that's part of what I feel is the joy of being human, is connecting these dots and making it clear how powerful we are in every situation. So let's take a look at the issue of soul contracts. This is a question I got from Robin, wanting to know more about soul contracts. What are they? How do they get started? Where do they come from? Soul contracts are energetic agreements between you and another person. Chances are you have multiple soul contracts. And essentially, the basic energy is for your growth, for learning, expanding, becoming more of you. And these soul contracts exist because there are certain themes, lessons, and areas of life that you wanted to grow and expand into in this lifetime. In the book, The Art of Trapeze, I talk about my soul contract, and mine's around trust. and raise your hand if you can relate to trust. Self-trust, listening to yourself, understanding more about what you need and whether or not you're honoring that. Trust is a very common theme for many of us. And you know that's true because of all the depictions of betrayal. If you were to turn on the TV, watch a movie, listen to a song, and any kind of media experience, betrayal comes up time and time again. Betrayal is actually the opportunity to trust ourselves more. And so we experience betrayal when we want to learn to trust ourselves more. That is the spiritual purpose of it. And so you could have in your life soul contract with people who are teaching you to trust yourself more. And how do they do that? They betray you on some level. But even that is a human version, because when you see it from a spiritual perspective, there really can't be betrayal if you ask the person to teach you that lesson. They're honoring your request for growth. They're honoring what you wanted to learn. That doesn't mean we like it. That doesn't mean we necessarily want it, or that it's not painful, or that we don't get hurt or feel anger or resentment, any of that. But the point is to look at it from a place of powerful choice, where you can say, I, as a soul, wanted to have this experience so that I could learn to trust myself more. That is one of my personal soul contracts. I would say I've had that with, 18 people. No, I'm exaggerating. But I have been tuned into this lesson in my life. And so I share one of these scenarios in the story to demonstrate that I wasn't always trusting myself, but that was the lesson. And when we get the lesson, we change the energy. We change our relationships. We change the way we speak to ourselves, our lives. So many things change. And that's the purpose of a soul contract, is to push you forward, is to move you forward. And so, say, for example, you have an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend who you happen to have a soul contract with for growth, and I'm going to stay on the lesson of trust, and you look back and you realize, I learned XYZ in this relationship. I learned how to trust myself. I learned to say what I wanted in the relationship. Then you went on to your next relationship, and the pattern repeated itself. And the most common thing is to blame the other person, right? Oh, they betrayed me. Oh, they cheated on me. Or, they weren't honest about who they are. We go into all of that. But if you have a soul contract with somebody, they are reflecting back to you an area of growth that holds a lot of potential. Now, we might realize we have a soul contract with somebody, but they don't know it. They don't care. They want to go watch football or do, whatever, go out and party with their friends. You don't have to have the other person's consent. What you do have to have is the self-acknowledgement that there was a lot of growth in that relationship or situation for you. You get it, what you were supposed to learn. You get it, how you can improve yourself, how you can be in your own power, how you can change something and make a new choice so that you don't repeat it. And that is where the energy really changes. If you're just an observer and the pattern keeps repeating because you haven't truly changed the energy. It's almost like you're just thinking about it, but you haven't made any choices or deliberate changes. And making those deliberate changes is where the energy, or is where the energy changes, but is where the work is needed. So you can see why there are multiple layers to this. You can see why it's an extensive topic. So that's why I'm including it in the next book. But that's the overview of soul contracts. It's the person that you asked to help you learn, to help you grow. It's funny because being the human experience is interesting in that we have so many choices. And sometimes it's only when push comes to shove that we really can see something. So as you're understanding more about your own soul contracts and the meaning of certain relationships and the themes associated with them, I would recommend also giving yourself a lot of love and compassion and forgiveness and understanding that it's just an experience. It's just a lesson to help you grow, and that there's a lot of, what's the word? There's just so much abundance that comes from getting it, from the click, 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 I get it, and making new choices. So soul contracts, I like them so much. I find them fascinating. And there's so many different types, and there's so many different reasons, but there's a lot of good information within them. So know that it's an explanation as to why certain themes and lessons are occurring in your life. Another question that came in here, this one was from Dale. Dale wanted to know, how did you know you were talking to spirit? What a cool question, Dale. And it was a good one because I think I take it for granted sometimes because I've been doing it for so long. But the way that I know is that I hear a voice that is a different energetic signature than my own. It's different language, different tone, different speed of communication. It's when I am open to it, because spirit will never intrude on you. It will be there when you ask. It will be available when you are ready. I have programmed myself to be quiet regularly, whether that is on my walks or when I'm sitting and meditating or when I'm in the car or even when I'm cleaning. Because when I'm doing something mindless, I can hear better. So in the book, I share with you a conversation with God, and I identify it as God because that is a common understanding for many people. And it was such a clear, vibrant energy. It was just so unmistakably spirit. And I was in a place where not only could I hear, but I could ask. And the conversation felt very uplifting, high vibrational, like I just wanted to smile. And I felt a lot of joy. I also felt a lot of peace. I felt that I could just receive. And that is one of the tricks, if you will, of working with spiritual energy, is the allowing and the receiving of information. It's also believing, because believing is not tangible. And the believing part allows room, can also trigger doubt. How do I know this is spirit? How do I know I'm hearing the right thing? That is the choice point. That is essentially where we choose to walk towards spirit, or we choose to stay in our strict human experience. So, Dale, that's how I knew. Those were the clues. And I talk with spirit regularly, multiple times a day, before I go to bed at night, when I'm at the grocery store. It's a constant presence for me, so it's quite familiar. If you are new, quote unquote, to talking to spirit, which I say quote unquote because I don't think you're new at all. I think you're just remembering how to do this. Follow what feels right for you. The meditations might be good. Just making time to listen. And also choosing to believe and choosing to trust what you hear. Because that's our human self kicking in when we are afraid to trust or believe. So I hope that was a good answer for you, Dale. Thank you for asking that. Also within the book, I had some folks asking me, they said they didn't see some of the manifestations. And I thought that was very, very cool that was mentioned, because this is how things work. You know, we are always manifesting, always. We just take it for granted. We expect certain things, or we assume certain things are going to be there. You get up every morning and you have breakfast. You have your coffee. You get in your car. What else do you do on a daily basis that you take for granted, but is truly a manifestation? And a manifestation is your energy creating what you need. So here's one of the manifestations that I talk about in the book that I will explain in more detail with the next book. It has to do with when I was leaving Paris and I had 5 crazy bags of luggage that needed to be sent from Paris back to Seattle. I had done all this research to find the best way to do that. Because as we all know, the companies these days aren't so gracious about allowing you to check multiple bags. I was looking at cargo companies. I was checking out UPS and FedEx and all these options, and the cheapest quote I could find was $700. And I was very diligent with the research until I finally got to the airport with my lovely friend Tricia, and we were in line. And we were about to go up to the counter to check in. And as I was in line there, I gave it all up. I said, you know, I am not going to worry about this anymore. This has kept me up. I have stressed about this because I didn't have an extra $700 in my budget for only luggage. But I knew I would pay it and get it figured out, and my stuff would get home. It's like I knew in the end it would all be fine. And as I was standing in line at the airport to check in for this international flight, I just said, I give it up. When I say that, I give it up to spirit. I give it up to my team. I say, I know that this is going to be beautifully resolved, and I don't have to carry it. I don't have to worry about it. I kept repeating that over and over again. The best possible situation is going to unfold. If I am supposed to be flying to Seattle, I am not supposed to be stressing about this. I had so many things I was saying. And as I got up to the counter to check in, the man behind the counter just kept taking my bags, and they were not light, let me tell you, and they were very awkward. And I did not pay a cent. I did not pay for my 5 bags on an international flight at all. And it's because I finally decided to surrender. And I said, I give it up. I'm not going to stress about this. That is the manifestation, that is the trust, that is the surrender. Over and over again in this book, I surrender regularly. You know, we surrender daily. Every night we go to bed, we surrender the day, the previous 23 hours. We surrender. And so that's one of the themes of this book. And when you surrender is also when you manifest. It's a demonstration of your intention. It's a fortifying of your energy and your trust in a bigger, more divine outcome. So that is one of the manifestations that I share with you. And I don't call it out. You know, I'm sharing this story from a very human perspective where you could just read it and you're done, right? And you pick up your next book. And that's great. I didn't want to bombard the story with the teachings because I think that gets too heavy and it takes away from the story. But I have a lot of messages within the story. And I want you to tap into your own common themes. How can I explain that better? What I mean is that when you look back on your life and you look back on the times you surrendered and you let something go, what manifested next? So that's the stuff I'm diving into in this next book, Spiritual Secrets from the Art of Trapeze, is that it's showing how the energy always supports you. Now, at the top of the show, I talked about getting on the email list. I recommend doing that because that is how I announce when the books are coming out, and I give you pre-sale offers. I have 5 books coming out before 2013 is over. 5 more. Everyone on my email list gets first dibs on all of those. So I recommend checking that out if you're interested in more of this information. Okay, one more question. Here it goes. This is from Gwen in Australia. And she asks, sorry, I'm just reading. It's a long question, so I'm trying to get some of the snippets here. Gwen asks, Molly, I loved your book because I felt like I was right there with you. I felt like you are a girlfriend and that we have a lot in common, so I hope we can meet someday. The thing that struck me the most is the honesty and your ability to open up. And that's something you talk about throughout the story. It's open, open, open. Can you tell me how that was? Because I am actually afraid to open up, but I can see the courage of doing so. Okay. Yes, Gwen, this is something that I didn't want to do at first. I think our ego mind wants us to project a certain image, energy, self out into the world as a form of armor or protection of who, against other people's judgments. And what I realized for myself, Gwen, is that I was really afraid of my own self-judgment. And that's what it came down to. And when I worked past that, I actually arrived at 100% self-acceptance. This is who I am. This is what I feel. This is my story. This is what I want to share. This is what I want to say. When I wrote from that place, it not only poured out of me, but it was this truer version of me that I was finally able to express. The opening up can be scary, and that's okay. It's okay to have a fear. It's okay to feel uncomfortable around it. But that doesn't have to stop you. It's just something you're aware of and you can look at and see, and then you keep going. So when I was writing this, I can tell you that there were parts of it that I wanted to edit out. But I realized when I edited out certain parts of my real experience, I was actually only trying to keep people out, to keep them from judging or, being critical on some level. And I realized, too, that that didn't matter. That didn't bother me because I loved myself for the courage to share. I love the courage of being open. And it had a certain level of release, of freedom, of not having to keep things so tight or clenched together. There was a breakthrough energy that was quite empowering. quite awesome. And I think it's also why thousands of people have grabbed this book, because there is something where we want to connect at a heart place with others. We want to feel the authenticity. We want to hear about others' experiences. You know, we really want to do that from a pure place. And so when you do that, you open up opportunities for others to do that. And it increases that energy. And I think it makes more people peaceful and self-accepting. You're not alone. So, Gwen, that is why, and that was my experience with it. It was scary, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't my first inclination or my first draft, but I feel that it is the way to exist. It's the way that I want to live. And so there were bigger energies guiding me forward. And I have to tell you, too, that I loved myself even more for the courage to be open, and it's allowed other people to meet me in that space. So it's definitely been a win, win, win. And I encourage you, if and when you're ready, to trust that part of yourself that's pushing you forward, because those nudges and those needs and those clues that are coming up are also telling you that it's safe to do so. So just to put that into your psyche and to know that it's there can be very calming. And it can also soften and mute some of the ego mind's messages. Thank you for these questions. There were more questions, but they are longer in length, and I feel that they could be addressed later. But thank you, everybody, for your interest in this topic. The Art of Trapeze is on Amazon, and it's, of course, available still, and will be for a while at a good deal price. I'm going to share with you some more books soon, as I mentioned. So check those out, because you're going to notice some themes here in my books and my stories that are going to build upon one another. Now, quickly, before we go, let's see, we have less than 10 minutes left. I wanted to give you a quick update on astrology information. Now, I've been working with many of you one-on-one, which I love, and I want you to know that I'm continuing these MP3 astrology readings. I'm continuing them for a while because so many people are grabbing them and are needing information. If you are interested in getting any kind of perspective, insights, just even an understanding about why certain things are happening right now, I recommend checking it out on the website, consciouscoolchic.com. For more information, there is the 15-minute MP3 reading, or there's a new one, which is the Identifying Your Power Days over a 2-month period, where I take a look at your chart and see what days are powerful for you, what the energies are, how to make the most of them. This is great if you are looking to launch something or you're planning something, whether it's for a business or personal reasons, just so you can get a heads up on the energies. I'm excited. This is brand new. You're hearing about it first here because so many of you are looking for that. You have big plans and you want things to unfold beautifully. So I am delighted to assist you with that. The current energies are pretty big because we are dealing with the 4 cardinal signs: Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn are all big energies in astrology right now. It's going to continue. These 4 energies are going to be strong the end of September, beginning of October, and as well at the beginning of 2014. These energies all want to initiate something. They want to get something started, but they have very different ways of doing that. Each of these energies is associated with a season. Aries, spring, Cancer, summer, Libra, fall, Capricorn, winter. They're associated with the initiation of a season. So imagine if all four seasons wanted to get started at once. It's an overload. Where would you direct your energy? What would you do? It's almost like you could be bombarded with too many ways of doing something or directions to go. And so the recommendation is to not start anything right away, but to allow things to germinate, to really get clear about your intentions. This energy is also requiring change. Some things in our life just have to shift. And chances are you know what that is. Depending on how this energy affects you and is working in your chart, it's about looking at that thing, quote unquote, that has been coming up for you repeatedly. Maybe it's a theme, an action you need to take, a change you know you should make, but you've been putting off. It's coming to the point where change is going to be happening and you're going to be ready for it. But before that, you've got to get clear. And it could even be getting clear within your own energy, clearing out some stuff, getting in alignment with your personal truth, getting clear about how you feel about money. It's like preparing the way. And that's what is going on right now. Getting clear about what we want, what we are ready to let go of, what is final. And this can be uncomfortable. There can be tension. There can be a feeling of, what's the word? It's like that feeling of not knowing exactly which way to go, or you want to go every direction, and it's an overwhelm. I recommend finding the peace within, getting quiet, tapping into your soul's energy, which is all about love, abundance, worthiness, joy, the fact that everything is all right and you are exactly where you need to be right now. Return regularly to that place. Things are going to be shifting globally. There's changes already in the works, things that we see, things that we don't see yet. That's part of this energy. And I feel it as that we have a responsibility to ourselves and to the globe to find the peace, to maintain a certain level of peace within, regardless of anything happening externally, because our peace and our power is always within and it's always with us. So any ways that you can calm yourself, take 3 deep breaths, go for a walk, meditate, drink lots of water, take care of your physical body, all of that is essential right now. And it's going to help carry you through the uncertainty. It's going to help move you through the not knowingness. And it's going to be a way to connect with your soul's energy that will feel empowering and very soothing. So that is a big deal right now, only because it's going to keep coming up. And anything you can do right now to strengthen those practices and to make them more regular in your life is going to benefit you. So know that that is part of what's going on, and that, as always, your power is always within you and present, and you can tap into it at any time. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the spiraling energies of 2013. Okay, there's more spirals of energies coming. We're going to talk about that next week. So I hope you can join me. Thank you so much for being here. As always, I appreciate your time and your presence, And I am delighted to connect with many of you through astrology sessions or in any way that you need it. Thank you, my friends. It's a joy to be on this journey with you, and I will speak with you soon. Namaste.
Moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. I wish that I could.